Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am Laura.
And I'm Marty.
Excellent.
I think.
We wanted to make sure we knew which one was which, because, you know, sometimes there's days.
There are days. Well, I'll tell you a really quick version of something that happened to me on Saturday, and this is true. Saturday morning, I was ready to walk into the exam room with my first appointment, and one of my staff members came back and said, there's a guy at the front desk that has something that he says belongs to you, and he wants to give it to you in person. So I go up to the front desk, and there's a man standing there holding this item, and I've never seen this guy before. And he looks at me, and he says, are you Martina Greer? And I said, yes. And he said, Martina L. Greer? And I said, yes. And he handed me a wallet that was stolen out of my car 30 years ago.
No.
He bought a house, moved into it, was cleaning out the attic, and found this wallet. And he hands it to me. He says, of course, there's no cash in it. I'm like, no, of course. But my driver's license from 1994 was in there.
Hey, cool.
I have pizza coupons. I have stamps from 1994. They're 32 cents, by the way, for first-class stamps in 1994. No, you just need two of them. I have a Walden book coupon. I have my library card. There's a credit card. This stuff that disappeared 30 years ago out of my life, it was like opening a time capsule. And my staff was just cracking up. They're like, that's you in the driver's license? Yes, yes, I didn't always look like this. Yes, I used to have red hair, and I used to be cute. So yes, that is me. So I couldn't believe it. So yes, I'm struggling to remember my name some days because yes, I am Martina L. Greer. And I was shocked. He said, I think the woman who owned the house, I think her son stole your wallet, took the cash and just stashed the wallet. I'm like, why didn't they just throw it away? Like what kind of a kid keeps it for 30 years?
Right.
Don't know, but it's back now.
Wow. Okay. That is fantastic. And I can attest to looking different 30 years ago. Those of you on YouTube, this just happens to be the photo sitting on my desk.
It looks like a mugshot.
I know it does. It was actually a photo from my newspaper days. It was my headshot for when I started working right out of college at the Lincoln City News Guard, the weekly newspaper in Lincoln City, Oregon, Oregon coast.
Ooh, that's a big place.
It's not, but it was a fantastic year of my life. I really loved the weekly newspaper and I loved the town and I would happily live on the Oregon coast any day of the week. But yeah, that photo sits on my desk just to remind me that I used to be hot. So I just, so anyway, here we are living our best lives. And I think that we had a pretty cool topic for tonight. We were going to talk about, because we have been awfully serious and we promised to have fun. So not only can we show you old pictures of ourselves and funny stories, we have the best dog toys, even for your destructive chewers. We have ideas for you. And something that I don't think we've ever touched on, favorite cat toys and cat food, because we haven't actually done cat food. So for those of you in multi-pet households, this is a full spectrum podcast this evening.
Here we go.
So let's go in reverse order. Cat food, because that would seem pretty straightforward. Again, you're the cat expert. So tell us what cat food is best for our cats.
Well, it depends on what's wrong with your cat or what's right with your cat. So as far as general health cat food, there's lots of great ones on the market. I'm a fan of a couple of brands, but in general, an indoor cat food that is typically a dry food diet is quite sufficient for most cats. Now, there's some nuances to cat food that are different than dog food.
Right.
Cats apparently like things that are pointy and sharp in their mouths. So you'll remember back in the old days, the Purina Star cat food.
Yeah.
A lot of the Hills cat food and other foods are kind of triangular in shape. And apparently cats like to eat little mice that have little sharp body parts. And so they like these little sharp kind of kibbles. So a lot of the foods are pointy or sharp or not necessarily just a round kibble. The other thing is cats, like if you add water to dog food, dogs are more than happy to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Cats don't want water added to their dry food. If you want to feed canned food / wet food, and I'm never sure what term to use because it's used sort of interchangeably.
Right.
If your cat wants wet food, canned food, that's great, and it's good for certain medical conditions. But you can't pour warm water into your cat food and expect your cat to go, woo, I'm excited about this, because they don't like it. The other thing that's interesting about cats is they sometimes will eat really quickly, and then as soon as the food hits their stomach and it expands, they vomit just as quickly as they ate it. So it is not unusual to see a cat gulp down and guzzle down their food, because if you live in a multiple cat household, just like a multiple dog household, he who eats the fastest gets the mostest. If you eat really quickly and then you go to the bowl and drink a bunch of water, it expands, the food expands, and then boop, it comes back up. And cats are more than happy, similar to dogs, to re-eat the food. So don't let that freak you out, bother you. That's just normal stuff. Now, there are some medical conditions that dictate prescription diets, canned food, wet food diets, those kinds of things. Usually kidney and bladder diets are going to be along those lines. But there's lots of great cat foods on the market. And when I had cats, which I currently don't have any at this point, I fed just straight up dry food. I don't think most cats, for most of their health conditions, need to be on a canned food or wet food diet. I think it's expensive. I think it's smelly. It makes the litter box smelly. I like dry food, but not every owner feels that way. And certain medical conditions are going to be better off with a canned or a wet food diet.
Excellent. And, you know, with dogs, we have certain things like grain-free is bad for their health, and, you know, certain protein and fat things are important. Anything like that with cats?
Oh, yeah. Overweight cats or older cats need to be on a lower calorie food. They make indoor cat food that tends to be calorie restricted. They make a lot of diets for cats with urinary tract issues. And we did have a whole section on cats with urinary issues.
Yep,
and 3% of cats that present to the veterinary clinic present for urinary signs. So a lot of cats, I mean, that's a lot of cats. A lot of cats have urinary issues. So we need to make sure that we're feeding them appropriately. And sometimes the prescription foods are the only thing that are going to really manage that well. Because in those diets, they have to be restricted in the amount of magnesium and phosphorus in the food. The pH has to be very specifically managed so that it's at the exact right pH that calcium oxalate or struvite stones don't dissolve. So it's really important that we get that pH exactly right. And for some of those foods, the over-the-counter foods are not going to be sufficient. Some cats really do need to be on prescription food. And then people squirm a little bit and they say, well, it's going to be more expensive. And the answer is maybe a little bit more expensive than your regular cat food that you buy at the grocery store, but certainly not more expensive than some of the boutique cat foods that you can buy at the boutique pet stores, and way less expensive than having your cat end up in the hospital because of a urinary obstruction. So I think it's important that you follow your veterinarian's directions if they recommend a prescription diet, that you stick to that type of food. The other thing that's kind of interesting about cats is a lot of them are going to have hairballs, and so they do make hairball diets, which are high in fiber to reduce the amount of hair that gets caught in the GI tract. So I think that's important. And then we have the really unique experience with cats that cats are obligate carnivores. So dogs can be an herbivore or a carnivore. Dogs can get by on a no-meat diet. Wake up call for those of you who are having cats out there that want to be vegan. Cats cannot live a vegan lifestyle. Cats are obligate carnivores. There are certain amino acids that they have to get from meat. And I hate to break it to you, if you want your cat to be vegetarian, it's not going to work out well for your cat. We're going to see a lot of problems. Okay. Other weird things, really rare, but does occur if you feed your cat an all fish diet, no kibble, no, you know, canned food, just a straight up, like you open a can of tuna every day for your cat. Those cats will end up with steatitis, which is inflammation of the fat, and a really painful condition for cats. So when I say feed your cat a canned food or a dry food diet, you should be feeding cat food. There's one more thing, I guess. Cats require taurine in their diet.
Yeah.
And this was discovered back in the 90s when Paul Pion was a graduate student. And we've known for many years that cats that ate dog food or didn't get enough taurine in their diet, because taurine is not a mandatory amino acid for dogs, the cats that ate dog food, say you were in the barn and you just poured the dog food into the bowl and the cats ate it, you know, whatever, this is food, get over it. The cats that ate those diets would end up blind. Their retinas required taurine. Well, then in the 90s, somewhere, I'm not exactly which year Paul discovered this, Dr. Pion discovered it, but he had a cat that came in that was blind and had cardiomyopathy. And until that point, we saw a pretty high number of cats that would come to the veterinary clinic in acute respiratory distress with congestive heart failure. And we didn't really understand why. And that's the year Paul Pion said, whoa, 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 we need more taurine in the cat food than just the amount to keep their retinas healthy. We need a higher amount. And so a few years ago, when this whole cardiomyopathy thing happened with dogs,
Right.
all veterinarians that saw this information come out and have them talk about these vegetarian diets or grain-free diets, we were all pretty convinced that taurine was a component of that. And in reality, it probably is taurine and L-carnitine. But again, some of those things haven't completely been worked out. So cats can't eat dog food. Cats can't eat all fish diets. There's certain things. Cats are not vegetarians. So I know there are people who are hardcore vegetarians or vegan, and I understand that that's a lifestyle commitment, but don't drag your cat into it unless you want to end up seeing a lot of veterinarians to try and figure out what's wrong with your little kitty. They just can't do it.
Okay, excellent. All good information. Cat snacks. Are there special snacks that you can give your kitty?
Oh,
Because I mean, we
there
talk
are.
all about this, what we give our dogs. We give them ice cubes and carrots, and I'm pretty sure that the cat would look at you like you were from the planet Mars if you tried to give them a carrot.
You know, some cats will eat remarkable, strange things. I've had cats
Ice,
that eat
for
pumpkin.
example.
Yeah, well, they won't eat ice. But I've had cats that'll eat pumpkin, like straight out of the pumpkin as you're carving it. I've had cats eat olives. I've had cats eat Doritos. So cats will eat a kind of a wide variety of oddball things. Now, I don't recommend that you feed a regular diet of pumpkin and Doritos to your cat. So don't mistake what I'm saying here. But it is always fun to have something, you know, that you're snacking on and have the cat come over and look at you like, I'll try that. And they actually do, and it's kind of interesting. And most of the time, it's not going to hurt the cat if they eat an occasional little bit of this or a little bit of that. And I don't believe that anybody's ever been able to show that cats have the same reaction to grapes or raisins that dogs do, but I wouldn't try it. You know, I wouldn't want to be the person that wanted to be in the footnote of the paper that said, yeah, this cat had an adverse reaction to eating raisins. So I wouldn't try it because we know dogs can go into kidney failure from grapes and raisins being in their diet, even a small amount. But cats will eat a lot of weird things, and they make a lot of really cool treats for cats, and they're really fun. But you know, there's really no reason that you can't feed them some of the same fun things that you feed your dog if your cat is interested in doing that. And with anything, you've got to watch their caloric intake. So if they start to get a little chunky, then you need to cut back on the food or increase their exercise. And if you try to exercise a cat, it does not go well.
My mind just went to like running the cat on the treadmill, and I'm just not seeing it.
No, it doesn't. It
Just
doesn't
not
go well
seeing
for
it.
cats. No, and you can't take them out for a
Can you
drag.
ride them on a bicycle? You know, like we
No,
trot the dogs
you can't
behind the
road work them.
bike.
Yeah, there's no road working a cat. So those things are really not good options.
They don't
But,
retrieve. You can't like play fetch in the lake.
well, actually, some people do play retrieve, but not in the lake. They just play it in the house. And I've seen people train their cats to do agility courses. And those are a hoot. And if you treat the cat with tuna or salmon or something really interesting, you can lure them into doing an agility course, but I've never seen a competitive agility class or competitive agility course for cats. But
My God.
maybe in New York City, they do things that I don't know.
Who
Yeah,
knows?
so it could happen. But there are some really fun treats for them, and you can find cool things for them. And every cat has their little favorite things. Back when I was a vet student, I had to feed El Cheapo cat food to my cat because I was a poor veterinary student, and she loved special dinners. They were little tiny triangular milk-coated kibble, and I couldn't afford to buy a whole bag for her bowl, but I would buy a little bag for her, and those would be her little treats. And so I promised her when I graduated from veterinary school, she would like do this little thing where she would, you know, reach up to grab the treats. And I promised my little cat Kalamazoo that the day I graduated from veterinary school and got a job, that Kalamazoo could live on special dinners from this pet food company. And she was thrilled to know that I was eventually going to be able to buy good food for her instead of enough to get by. And she did end up liking it a lot more than she liked the other food. So she'd put some weight on at that point.
Oh my God.
So there's a lot of fun things you can do. So you can make little cat treats. I mean, there's little cookbooks and there's all kinds of fun things. So you can do a lot of fun things. And as long as you feed 90% cat food and 10% or less table food, fun food, all those things, you're not going to unbalance the diet seriously enough. And I'm sure that we have many listeners. I don't know how many, and I don't really need to know, but I'm sure there are people who live alone and they set a little plate at the table for their dog or their cat to sit at the table or maybe on the table when they eat so that they don't eat alone or in the recliner when they're eating dinner or whatever. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having some fun. Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, you know, people tend to kind of break out the extra can of food or the extra goodies
right, for
some kind of things that are more interesting than just dry cat food in a bowl.
Right.
It's okay. You should do that.
Cat toys, again, outside my thing, is catnip really a thing?
It is.
Chasing little feathery things and climbing little scratchy things instead of your curtains.
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
Yes. So little feathery things, they use those even at cat shows to get the cat's attention. Because if you've never been to a cat show, it's a whole different experience than a dog show. They don't put them on a leash and walk them around a ring. The judge comes over and picks up the cat and holds up the cat and looks at the cat and does all this stuff. And then they play with them with these little feathery things. And your cat had better respond to that or your cat is not going to place well because the judge wants that kind of interaction. So the little feathery things are great. And I actually had a client in today who's a cat breeder. And she had her little kittens and her adult cat in. And of course, the adult cat looks at you with a feathery boa thing and looks at you at the exam table like, no, I'm at the vet. Leave me alone. But the kittens were very happy to play with a little feathery thing. And they had a great time. I have in one of my exam rooms a cat tree. And we'll talk about cat trees in a minute. I have on the wall a thing from Wayfair that's this curved carpet covered little board that the cats can sit in during the exam. So there's some fun things that you can do with cats. And so if you're going to a veterinary clinic with your cat, find a clinic that seems to understand cats well enough to say that they don't just want to sit on the exam table, that they have toys or they have fun things or they have hidey holes or things for the cat to go in, maybe even a litter box in the exam room. So be thoughtful about that. Cat trees are really interesting because a lot of people buy these flimsy $29 things from cheap places. And cats, to effectively scratch, and you want to give your cat someplace to scratch besides your sofa or your curtains, to effectively scratch, a cat needs to fully extend its front legs and its back legs. So however long your cat is from its tippy toes, fully standing to its other tippy toes, is at least how tall the cat tree has to be. Because a cat doesn't want to do this. A cat needs to do this. So super important that you know that. The other thing about cat trees is that they need to be really hefty. Because when your cat comes running across the room and hits the cat tree, if it goes do-do-do-do-do and falls over, that's the last time the cat's ever going to go on the cat tree. And if you ever thought you were going to keep your curtains and your furniture safe for the cat tree, you just blew it. So I have cat trees that I bought at a cat show 30 years ago, and they're carpeted, and they're super tall, and they're made out of actual tree trunks. And I have them in my exam rooms, and the cats love them because they can run and hit them hard. They've got a little pagoda on the top and all these little hidey holes. So at one point I had 7 cats and every cat could be on its own section of the shelf. And that's the other thing is sometimes cats like to share and sometimes cats don't like to share. Now, that being said, we did a behavioral class in June up in Canada and one of the behavioral consults had sent video and they had more cat trees than you would ever see in a store in their house. It was kind of mind-bending because they must have had 25 cat trees.
Oh, my gosh.
So the amount of confusion and clutter and stuff was just magnificent. So one or two really good cat trees is better than 18 flimsy cat trees. So really seriously, make your own out of bark covered tree trunks and really heavy duty stuff, or find somebody that makes good ones because you're going to find that they're going to save you a lot of money in furniture repair, carpeting, new speakers for your stereo, all the curtains or blinds or whatever you happen to have in your windows. So, you know, just kind of plan for that. And when you get a little tiny furball of a kitten, it's not going to stay that size. So mm-hmm. get him a good cat tree, or find somebody, or if you have the skills to do it, go cut down some trees, mm-hmm. bring them in the house and build these, and, you know, carpet the things. Mm-hmm. And if anybody mm-hmm. wants a picture of my cat tree, I'm happy to send it to them. There's some really good stuff out there. Well, I have pictures of cats in my exam rooms in the cat tree. So
I love it.
Would not be a hardship for me to send you pictures. So I think that's important. The other thing is there's a cat toy called Cat Dancer, and it's the simplest toy you could possibly imagine. It's this wire that kind of curves. It's this really heavy duty wire, and it's got three little spinny things on it. They make them in Wisconsin, 45 minutes from where I live. They're called Cat Dancers. They look kind of, you look them at the store and you're like, why would a cat want to play with this? Right. I don't know what there is about it, but it's kind of magical. Cats really, really love them. Catnip. You asked about catnip.
Catnip.
Kittens, yeah, kittens under 4 months of age don't have the ability to smell the catnip or sense the catnip.
Oh.
So as kittens, they look at catnip like it's just another weed. But as soon as they get over 4 months of age, many cats completely lose their minds over it, get high basically on it. We used to have it growing all around our property, and my son would go out and harvest it, and then we would sell it, you know, dried as catnip.
Right.
And cats really, really, really love this stuff. And it's really fun to watch your cat get high and like tip over the cat tree and fall to the floor or over the back of the couch because they're like, but they love it. And it's easy to grow. Once you've got it, it's sort of like a weed, and it's very similar to mint in the shape of the leaves, but it has a slightly different smell to it. The cats that love it really love it. And you could also buy cat grass at the store. You can buy little plants with cat grass growing, and cats love those things because they love to truly eat grass. Mm-hmm. So if your cat can't get outside, that's mm-hmm. fine. You can buy that for them. And then there's catios. Do you know about catios?
I've seen pictures of them. I would think that if I was going to actually have a cat, that would be how I would have them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a way for a cat to experience the outdoors, but still to be safe, because it's a little dangerous for a cat to go out there, especially in the wild. You know, they may not come home.
Coyotes.
They like to go out at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like to go out at night and not come back until morning. And so a lot of dangerous things happen. They get into cat fights. They get hit by cars. There's wilderness stuff out there, you know, things that prey on cats. And of course, the cats have fun eating little mice and chippies and all that stuff, but it can be a challenge. And then the other thing that I had mentioned before, that little wall thing that I have, I've seen people do their entire house with catwalks all around near the top of the ceiling. Cats love those things. They love to go up there, and you can build little steps. And, you know, if you go online and look at this stuff, you'll find some really great ideas if you want to do that, especially if you have a multiple cat household, or if you have dogs and the cats need to get up high enough to stay away from the dogs. It's a really fun experience for them to just, people build them around their whole house so that the cat can go from one room to the next. They'll put a hole through the wall so they can go one room to the next. And these cats can just wander freely at, you know, 8 feet off the floor. So cats can really have a good time with that.
That's amazing.
And then and then getting back to the exercise thing, it's really, you can't truly exercise a cat.
Yeah.
But there's a veterinarian who made this product called Doc and Phoebe's. So DOC and Phoebe.
Okay.
Like Phoebe mm-hmm. from Friends. And mm-hmm. basically they're these little mouse shaped cat feeders, and they don't have to be mouse shaped, but that's the way she designed them because they're fun. And essentially, it's a little cat feeding device that you measure the amount of food that goes into the device. And then you take these little cat-shaped feeding devices and you hide them around the house.
Oh.
Because typically, people feed their cat in
the
same place.
I love it.
Yeah, it is. Because people typically feed their cat in the same room. The laundry room, the bathroom, the kitchen, whatever it happens to be. And so the only exercise a cat gets is either moving across the couch as the sun moves so that they stay in a warm spot, or I get up, I go to the litter box, and then I go eat, and then I go back to sleep on the couch again. And so they don't get much exercise. So her premise of this was they have to go hunting, which is going to reduce their stress level and reduce their weight, because they're going to have to spend more calories looking, because one day you put it in your shoe in the closet, and the next day you put it in the laundry basket, and then day you put it in the baby's room. And so you move it around the house so that the cat never knows where they have to go looking for their food. And instead of fat cat with their belly kind of swinging underneath them as they walk across the house to go to the bowl and back to the
Garfield.
Couch. They search the whole house. Yeah. So they're on the quest for where can I find my food today? And so they burn a few more calories than they would if they just went to the box and back.
I would say that that's probably not an ideal solution for a mixed pet household.
No, because they will cause foreign bodies in your dog.
Yes. That's where I was going.
Speaking of your cat only house.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Speaking of foreign bodies in our dogs, that's where a lot of us run into trouble when we're trying to find appropriate dog toys, right? Something the dog cannot destroy and swallow and make a blockage. And I know I have power chewers. I had a wire hair pointer that could literally destroy a tire. Like, I mean, I am the household where chunks of tire are a toy because that's, you know, antlers, like actually shed from a deer, not special ones that you buy in the store. Things that, you know, are hard for them to break down. So let's talk about some fun, indestructible dog toys.
And I'm not sure for some dogs that there's anything indestructible. There are lots of things labeled that way, but you never want to assume that and leave your dog alone with that indestructible toy until you've proven to yourself and the dog that it truly is indestructible. I've had employees with dogs that they'll rip things to shreds. A lot of the high drive dogs, the police dogs, the actual dogs that work for police, the Malinois and the Belgians and the German Shepherds and a lot of the German dogs are high drive and they will destroy everything they can get their teeth on, including indestructible Kongs, indestructible chew toys. I had an employee that bought an indestructible ball for her dog and it lasted an hour. So, you know, it really is hard to find something truly indestructible. So you've got to be really careful that you're going to be safe and you don't want to leave a dog unsupervised with some of those things. And we see a lot of foreign bodies in dogs. One of my employees over the weekend thought she had one in her dog. We're still not convinced he didn't, but whatever was there has since resolved itself. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty common, and it doesn't have to be a toy. So you have to be careful with socks and towels and, you know, anything soft
underwear.
That they can chew up.
Yes.
Yeah, underwear. Very popular. The smellier it is, the stinky dish towel, the stinky underwear.
Yeah.
They love it, and especially if it's their favorite person, they love it even more. So it can be a problem. I have to tell you a very fast story here, too. Is a number of years ago, we had a dog in the clinic, a 14-year-old lab, that had eaten something at the house and was in the hospital. They had said, she's 14. She's done this too many times. We are not taking her to surgery. You're just going to have to see if she'll pass it and deal with it. So we had her in the hospital, we had her on fluids, and we came back in the morning, and we had had a very significant snowstorm overnight, so none of my staff had been able to get into the clinic. So I took off for call forwarding, started answering the phones, taking all the cancellations, the rescheduling. I didn't have a receptionist, I didn't have a technician, it was me and Dan, and we're trying to power through this. Staff wasn't there, clients couldn't come in, we're trying to rebook everything, and he's like, well, I'll take the dog out. So he takes the IV line out, takes her outside, comes back in, and I'm on the phone, and I can see him in the treatment area, and he's at the sink, and he's running water and running water and running water. I'm like, what? I finally got off the phone. I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, she passed this, and he held up this pair of Victoria's Secret underwear, and he was rinsing and rinsing and rinsing them, and I'm like, okay, that is not mine. That is someone else's underwear. You need to put that in a bag and walk away. You have no business being this engaged in some other woman's underwear. You're done. He's like, okay. So fortunately for the dog, she passed it. Unfortunately for Dan, he got busted. But we've had clients, and I actually was telling this story the other day, and we've had clients where it hasn't been the wife's underwear.
Yes.
It's been the mistress's underwear. Yeah. That sort of ends a marriage
pretty fast
when they find the mistress's underwear.
I can tell you when I was a teenager, no teenager on the planet should own crotchless underwear.
No.
No. But I did because my wire hair pointer, she wouldn't eat the whole underwear. She would just eat
just
the crotch. She would go into the laundry hamper and put.
Yep. Well, I had a client that came in one time and she said, what are we going to do about this? Because that was what was happening to her. Her daughter's underwear, the dog was chewing the crotches out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't really seem to understand what the problem is. And she said, well, the dog keeps eating the crotch out of the underwear. And I said, and the problem is? She said, well, I can't keep buying her new underwear. And I said, and the problem is? And I said, why don't you just let your daughter wear that crotchless underwear to gym once or twice?
Yeah.
And I think she'll start putting the underwear in the laundry basket and putting it where the dog can't get it. She never came back as a client. I don't think she appreciated my parenting skills.
No, I'm going to go with no on that.
Good medical advice. But I don't think the parenting skills passed her.
No, I'm going to go with no on that. And I don't even know how this dog got the laundry. Like, we had an old, like, it was an old house that I grew up in. It had a laundry chute. Do you know about a laundry chute? You
yes.
open the door and you throw
it from the second floor and
yeah,
it ends
yeah.
up in the basement.
And it was in the basement and it was in a giant box, like a giant, like refrigerator size cardboard box is where all the laundry went. And mom would fish it out and put it in the washing machine. Somehow, mm-hmm. either she only took the pieces that missed the box. I don't know.
But dogs are amazing. Daughter
dogs
had a-
are crazy.
Yeah, my daughter had a Bernese Mountain Dog, and she could run past the laundry basket, mm-hmm. never stop her feet from moving yeah. and slow down, but could tell my son's clothes from my daughter's clothes. And she loved my daughter. It was always her clothes that ended up in front of the TV on the dog bed, mm-hmm. never my son's. But I don't know how she could rifle through it that fast. She could really scent well.
Yeah.
And dogs can do that. I mean, dogs are pretty amazing creatures, and I don't think we give them enough credit. But a lot of times what we do is we try to figure out how to undo this stuff. So we'd spend 10 minutes trying to figure out how to keep them out of the laundry basket. And then they spend the next 23 hours and 50 minutes of every day figuring out how to undo what we did.
Yes.
So dogs are there to outsmart us, and they do a fabulous job.
And they do a fabulous job, particularly wire-haired pointers. Just, you know, nota bene.
Well, not just that. There's a lot of really smart dogs out there.
Super smart. Okay. So appropriate toys that are not crotchless underwear that are less destructible. How's that?
Let's talk about one more thing before we go on. And that's that if you have a suspicion your dog ingested something mm-hmm. that they should not have, you should contact your veterinary clinic and get the dog in as soon as you can to get them to vomit. Do not use peroxide. That can cause some very serious health problems. There's a product on the market called Clevor that you put in the dog's eye as an eye drop that will induce vomiting. It doesn't work in cats, but it works in dogs. And so you can talk to your veterinary clinic if you have a dog that has a history of eating socks, underwear, right. cell phones, knife blades, whatever it happens to be, because dogs will eat all this stuff.
Light bulbs.
And try to, light bulbs, crush them and then get some stuck in your teeth on the way down. So talk to your veterinarian about whether it's an appropriate thing for you to have at home, because I think peroxide is dangerous. Mm-hmm. I know everything mm-hmm. on the internet says that it's safe, but it really isn't. I've lost a cat and almost lost a dog to it. So it's really high risk. So apomorphine works, Clevor works, there's products on the market that can work. Have a good relationship with your veterinarian. Talk to them about being prepared so that if it happens on Friday night, you don't have to wait until Monday
right.
to go in and have the dog vomit. And if you make the dog vomit and nothing comes up and you feel guilty, we'll get over it, because it's much safer for the dog to vomit and not have anything come up than it is for the dog to have something that stays in their stomach, tries to pass into the intestines, and doesn't get through, and then the dog ends up with a surgery. And surgeries now are running $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to take some of these foreign bodies out. So it's unsafe, it's dangerous, it can be so cost prohibitive that people euthanize dogs for it. So just don't put yourself in that position. You know, teach your kids to put their underwear away, teach your kids to put the backpack away, and then have Clevor at the house for those emergency situations.
Excellent.
So back to the fun toys.
Back to the fun toys. We promised it was going to be fun.
Well, it is fun.
It's all a lot more fun and games until somebody eats the crotch out of your underwear. I know.
But it's a lot more fun to get the dog to bring it up than it is to have the dog end up in surgery.
100%.
So we're trying to keep you out of trouble.
So my nose, no hooves, like the hoof chews. You know what I'm talking about?
Agreed. Yes.
I'd say no
hooves. Yeah. Cow hooves. No. If you've ever used them and the dog chews on them for a while, you wake up in the middle of the night smelling it. It smells like you're sleeping in a feedlot. Yeah.
Blech.
Very unfortunate. Don't do it.
Don't do it. So that's a no for me. Rawhide. I'm a pretty hard no on anything rawhide, basically.
Well, it depends. There are some good rawhide type chews that are made as dental treats with enzymes in them, but you again have to get the correct size so that the dog can't swallow a piece that's not the right size. So yes, be thoughtful and careful about what size and where they're made and how you use them and that they're supervised. But a lot of times it can be a no.
I love Purina has these dental sticks that they can chew. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a Purina dental chew. Love those for teething puppies, trying to clean teeth, because they're made to be chewed up and eaten, right? Like they don't, like greenies can get stuck, you know? So I love those. And my favorite toy, I was telling you off air, my favorite toy that I ever had for that destructive tire chewing wear was a hard plastic ball with a little ball inside of it. And the big hard plastic ball had holes in it so we could carry it around. And it would roll and the little ball inside would make a noise. And he thought he would throw that for himself. He would do everything in the world. And that is one of the only toys that ever, maybe the only toy that ever survived that dog. Mm-hmm. So those are my ideas.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah, those are great. And Kong makes some really good toys. Yep. They started off with just the little snowman shaped thing. And now they make a whole array of things. They've become very famous for really safe toys, really good toys. They're fun because they bounce it regularly so that when you throw it, it doesn't bounce like a ball. It goes do, 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 do. They're hollow, so you can stuff them with kibble and peanut butter and cheese and, you know, all kinds of really fun things. You can put them in the freezer if the dog is able to get the stuff out too fast. You can put yogurt or kibble or whatever you want into it. So those are really fun. And they make some other really cool toys. Kong makes some Wubba toys that are pretty heavy duty chew toys. You know, nothing's indestructible, but those are mighty good toys. There's some really fun dog puzzles if your dog is one of those dogs that needs some kind of a challenge that has little flippers and doodads and things. Nina Uttenhouse or somebody makes some cool ones, all different varieties, and they make them at different levels because some dogs are smarter than others, and so you need to start off with an entry-level puzzle, and then the dog can work their way up. So there's some fun things, but you can do some really simple things. I just take a metal muffin tin, like a 6-holer or a 12-holer, and put yogurt or chicken broth or beef broth with the kibble, put it in the freezer, freeze it good and hard, and you don't have to fill all 6 wells. If you have a little dog, you may fill 1 or 2. If you have a big dog, you may need a 12-holer. And you can put that in your freezer. And then when you leave to go to work in the morning or leave to go do your Zoom call or whatever, you pull out of the freezer about 15 minutes before you go, you put it in the dog crate and lock the dog out of the crate. So the muffin tin is in the crate and the dog is outside the crate. Mm-hmm. And the dog is looking at you like, there's a thing in my crate and I need to get in there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, you know, you can't go in yet. I'm not ready to go to work yet. And they're like, but I have a schedule to keep and I need you to put me in my crate. And so it's very quick that the dog will turn around the, oh my God, she's leaving to, oh my God, I wish she'd hurry up and go because I need to get in there. And so you can keep them busy. I'll take peanut butter and stick a ginger snap to the bottom, like the flat side of the ginger snap, so it's hard for them to get it up. There's lots of things you can do with just a metal muffin tin. Please don't use the silicone ones because dogs will chew those up. But you can just get a metal muffin tin from the dollar store and get 2 or 3 of them, one in the freezer, one in the dishwasher, one in front of the dog. And you can do some fun stuff that instead of dog gobbling breakfast in 13 seconds, dog takes an hour and a half to eat breakfast because it's frozen and they're thawing it out and they're licking it and they're chewing it and they're getting it out of the muffin tin. And so they can have a really nice extended time that they spend eating their meal because their favorite thing to do is to eat. And they do it in 13 seconds. And so they've blown their whole fun morning without anything to show for it other than a stomach that they don't think is full yet because it's gotten down there so fast they don't even realize that they've had breakfast.
Right. Did you inhale those are really while you fun. Ate that food? Yeah.
Exactly. And they're really fun and they're really easy to do and you can vary it. You know, I don't care if you put in yogurt or, you know, whatever it happens to be, but you want to put their kibble in. And of course, you still need to not overfeed them. So if they're used to eating a cup of kibble a day.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So don't feed them 3 cups of kibble. Feed them 1 cup of kibble if that's their normal dietary intake. You know, figure that out. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice way to do things to keep them busy for a longer period of time. And, you know, for puppies, for adult dogs, it works really well.
Any other no's on your list, as in do not do, do not give, do not?
Socks. You know, people used to give their dog, they'd take a sock that had a hole in it and they'd just knot it up and give it to the dog as a toy. And then they couldn't understand why, the dog couldn't understand why they were being punished for chewing up the good sock, but not the crummy sock. So that's really confusing for dogs. It's just all the way around a bad idea. And if you don't think the toy looks safe, then don't do it. You know your dog better than a pet food manufacturer or a pet company that makes toys. So, you know, supervise the dog really carefully when you first give them anything new. I have a client that has had a bulldog for 15 years, and he would buy Mr. Bills, those little Mr. Bill toys that would say, oh, no, Mr. Bill. He would buy a case of those because the dog would tear one up a week. But he didn't care because it kept the dog happy and the dog loved it. And he thought it was funny to hear, oh, no, Mr. Bill over and over again. And so as long as you know that the dog is just going to tear it up and not consume pieces of it, it's okay. You know, it's fine.
You know, the other thing, and this is going to sound dumb, but I'm telling you, it is the God's honest truth. Water bottles and plastic juice jugs. Take the lids off. It's like early recycling. I've got probably, I don't even know, half a dozen of them out in the yard that Ruthie parades around, bats around, tosses in the air. And then when I clean the yard, I pick up all the dead ones and I've got a whole list of new ones to throw out there with her. Mm-hmm. And they still go to recycling. It's not like recycling says no if they've been chewed on.
Right. And you can put water in them so they're heavier. I mean, they can have a really fun time with those. The crinkly water bottles, they actually make a skin that goes over crinkly water bottles.
Yeah,
so the dogs can carry them around like a squirrel that you put the bottle in and then the dog can hear it crinkling through the outer cover that looks like a squirrel with a tail and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's just like kids, you know, you give them pots and pans or a cardboard box. They're much happier than if you gave them an expensive toy. Cats are the same. You can give a cardboard box to the cat or you can give a cardboard box to the dog. I use like old Mountain Dew boxes and puppies will go in and out. You look in the box and there'll be three of them in the box. You're like, how did you all fit? One of my other favorite things, and this sounds again kind of ridiculous, is when you go to the hardware store or the lumber yard and you can buy those big PVC tubes, not the little 2-inch ones, but the really big ones, like the elbow ones. The puppies love those. They go in and out of those. And they could, again, you'll see a puppy sleeping in each end. And it looks like the puppy is like this long because one puppy's head is sticking out this end, one puppy's tail is sticking out the other end. It's actually two puppies back to back. And then you've all seen the enrichment centers where you build that out of PVC tubing and then you hang fun stuff from it.
Yep.
One of the things I love to give puppies outside their X-Pen is a full-length mirror laid on its side so they can see themselves in the mirror. It's $7 at Walmart. If it falls over and it breaks, well, pick it up. Don't let the puppies get their feet cut and throw it away. And you've got a really fun toy. I sold a puppy to a family a couple of months ago. And the first time he'd ever seen himself was at the hotel where we handed the puppy off. And he looked himself in the mirror and I have video of him just absolutely having a blast playing with himself.
Right.
So, you know, really simple things. And then another really simple thing is one of those wading pools that you put those floaty hollow balls in with water and they float and they play and they can play in the water and they can play from the side. They, you know, whichever way, really fun for them to do. And I know Sophia Yin, who did a lot of veterinary behavioral work, talked about for our puppies, 100 experiences in 100 days. And that can be kind of a challenge, but there's two things I did during COVID. One is I went to Walmart and bought every style of bath mat that they had. So it wasn't necessarily a toy, but it was a social experience. So they have shiny mats and flat colored mats, and they have mats with holes that are round and mats with their holes that are square. And they have bristly mats and shiny mats and, you know, all kinds of different styles of mats. And so I could put down a different surface for them over and over and over again. And most of them can go in the washing machine, not your dryer, but you can throw them in the washing machine with a towel and they come in all sparkling clean. So if they have a little accident on it, it's not a big deal. And you put another one back in and they've had lots of experiences. And my other really fun thing, and I've had one person say, well, I don't think my dogs can tolerate that. And that's a variety of fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So one day you give them, we talked about it at the beginning.
Yeah.
One day you give them a carrot and one day you give them a stalk of celery and one day you cut a watermelon in half and you let them like scoop it out and let them play with the watermelon or the cantaloupe or the tomato that rolls around on the floor. You know, a little cherry tomato can keep a puppy busy for a very long time because it rolls and it's really fun and it's not a grape. So it's safe.
Right.
And so essentially other than grapes and raisins, any fruit or vegetable that you would eat or your family would eat can be used in that fashion. You can freeze a banana with the peel off of it. You can do really fun stuff. And when you stand in your grocery department, now, of course, not peaches and cherries that have pits in them, but you stand in your grocery department and there's 50 fruits and vegetables in front of you that you can, for a dollar or two, take home, you know, each. You can take home a whole variety thing. You can give them dragon fruit one day. I have one person that bought a farm dog from me, and she called me the second summer she had him, and she said, when they were little, did you give them cantaloupe? And I said, no, but I gave him honeydew. And she said, I cut a cantaloupe the other day, and he went crazy. Oh my God. He could smell it. He knew what she was eating. And I had taken a cantaloupe, cut it in half, scooped out all the seeds, and then cut it like a grapefruit so they were in little sections. And I have videos of these puppies just having a blast. You know, you can do some really fun stuff for not a lot of money.
Right.
And give them lots of experiences and lots of fun things. And then you can figure out what fruits or vegetables do they love. And then you start just buying those. You don't have to buy dragon fruit every week if they don't eat the dragon fruit the first week. But if they love celery or they love, you know, right. slices of apples or whatever it happens to be. Most of the time they don't like citrus, but there's few that do. So lots of puppies like bananas and apples and carrots. And so you just give them a variety. And I've had one person say, well, my dogs are, you know, their tummies are really delicate. Like, well, maybe if you started them young, they wouldn't be.
Ice cubes. That's Agatha.
Ice cubes are great.
She will do backflips. She would like to just run the ice maker herself. That's...
I had a Great Dane client that had three Great Danes, and one of them could run the ice cube dispenser. And so she would come home, and the ice would be covering the floor. The three Great Danes would be, like, skating around in the kitchen. So be careful what you wish for.
I had a wire hair that could run it, so I'm saying. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
for sure.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, there you go, guys. That's your fun for this week, is to find the fun, cheap, cool things you can do with your dogs and cats.
I would say that we would like to hear from the listeners.
Yes.
To see if they've got any cool, unique ideas that we haven't thought of, because I'm sure there are some useful ideas that we can share on.
Absolutely. So we'll make sure to post that request on the Facebook page. So you guys check it out.
Please, please. Yeah, excellent. Share with us, because I'm sure we can learn.
Always. We learn stuff all the time. Okay. Thanks, Marty. We appreciate you.
Ciao.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.